Well, thank you for joining us on the Rescue and Revive Gospel Show. This is Dominic Denisi, and we're at the Rescue and Revive Ministry headquarters in High Falls, New York. And I have two special guests with me today. To my left, if you're watching on Facebook Live, we have Ashton Butler, and to my right is John Paparo, who I've known for quite some time. And both these men are going to be involved on the evangelism teams of the Rescue and Revive Ministry Crusade. It's our eighth one, and we're excited to go out throughout the Northeast to both the campus and the marketplace. So we're going to kind of focus in on that today. So with that being said, let me ask a question first. Ashton, I was thinking about this on the way in today. Last year, you were the youngest Crusade team member we've ever had. You were, what, 21 last year?
Mm-hmm.
You're now 22.
22.
Simple math. This year, we actually have our first teenager with Joey Haskins coming out, who is going to be just turning 19, so that's awesome. But maybe talk about last year a little bit. It was your first time, youngest person, 21 years old, ever to go out and do kind of a boots on the ground, very intense frontline evangelism. What was that like for you?
Well, for me, I remember you had us do the like where we kind of gave our testimonies at the end,
yeah,
as we were leaving to go to Harvard on the last day. And I remember kind of thinking that it was almost like the military, because you have to, it's like you love people, you know, you want to go in and do what you're supposed to do, but you have your duty to do, and you almost have to like kind of be detached emotionally and just go in there, obviously love people, be compassionate to them, but you can't let yourself get bridged and attached too much, because you know you have a job to do and you have to, you know, say your piece and move on, you know, blow in, blow up, and blow out, like you were saying.
Like that. Yeah, you know, and for those of you who don't know, again, the ministry, Rescue and Revive Ministry, started out of these crusades. So we'll be going to a number of Ivy League schools and also marketplaces nearby those places, and open air preaching, praying with people, gospel tracts, ministering, so on and so forth. But what Ashton just said, there is kind of a military aspect. And I actually, if you notice at the meeting we had, I purposely used some military terminology because it's a serious matter. I remember Randy saying after the first year, some people asked him how his vacation was. And he laughed at that because he was telling us anything but a vacation. It's long days. We're out there in the open. We're somewhat vulnerable. And so for you, I'm happy that you used that kind of military illustration, because now you have a taste of it, and we're happy you're back. So with that being said, John, coming back here, what is this, your third year maybe?
Yes,
third or fourth year?
My third year.
And, you know, I mentioned Randy. It's interesting. If you remember, back in 2018, you were ready to go. You had to back out. And that's how I reached out to Randy. And Randy and Ari were very, very close.
Yes.
In a number of ways, in the Lord, and just as friends in general, so on and so forth. So, John, being a veteran, I mean, you've been sharing the gospel for many, many years in many, many places. But now you've done this twice. You're going on your third one. What have you learned? What are your thoughts? Being so seasoned in evangelism, a few takeaways from the crusade.
Well, the crusade has been a great challenge, because you're going with other brothers. And when you go with other people, we encourage one another. We pray for one another. And we work as a team. And the unity is just so awesome. And if someone is having a downtime or needs encouragement, we could rally around that person and encourage them and pray for them. But going as a team, I compare it to like a sporting event. You need teamwork, like a football team. Mm-hmm. You need the teamwork to get the things done, to score a touchdown. You need everybody involved in the play. So when we go out evangelizing as a team, it's so the Holy Spirit is with us. And it's like teamwork. We rally around one another, and like Ashton said, we have a job to do. But it's not a job of labor. It's a labor of love to share with people.
That's a good word. You know, so far you guys, you brought up military, you brought up football. You know, pertaining, but they're both great illustrations. One is an athletic team. You know, one is a military operation, and that actually blesses me to hear that, because that's really there's a lot of parallels. And in fact, Aaron Hilliard, who I think, Ashton, you may have met him for the first time, mm-hmm, at the open air service, the Crusade Picnic. John, you knew him.
Yes.
Aaron Hilliard. It was a blessing to hear him talking about, hey, now I started my own ministry, my family and I travel around the campuses. And that's kind of what happens. I mean, it's in the military, you go up through the ranks, as you get promoted. And with football teams, if you play well, you're going to get playing time. It's kind of the same thing. Faithfulness, God's economy, faithfulness is what counts. And so happy to have you back, John. Ashton, happy to have you back. With that being said, let me talk. You wore the sweatshirt today. And so we wear our sweatshirts, our T-shirts throughout the 5 days for a number of reasons. One of them is that team unity. The other one is to identify one another if we're 50 yards, 100 yards, 200 yards away. The verse on the back, you heard Mike Maller talk a little bit about it. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Few there be that find it. And then he gave a powerful testimony of how he was thinking about that's exactly what happens on the crusade. So Ashton, since you're wearing the sweatshirt today, when John was praying, that's what I was thinking. I was like, you know, let me ask about this. What are your thoughts as far as, and those are the words of Jesus, when he said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, few there be that find it. We're going to be wearing that, God's word, on those sweatshirts and that T-shirts. What are your thoughts in regard to that passage?
Well, right off the bat, my mind goes to, like, Jonah, when God told them, like, you know, these people don't know their right hand from their left, and the Bible talks so much about... like how the lost are walking around in darkness, knowing not at what they stumble. And we have to be that light and to point them to the correct path and to the upright path and to the path that leads to eternal life, because, you know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and it's constantly just, you know, come over here, here's a temptation, here's, you know, like in Pilgrim's Progress, there's Vanity Fair, you know, trying to distract you. Here's all these things that we're trying to sell, but it's like, no, we don't want what you're selling. What they're selling is bad, and what is on this path is what you need, what you actually need. Like, it reminds me, too, of, I think in Isaiah 55, it talks about, like, why do you, you know, spend money for bread that does not satisfy, and things like that. And we have to point people to the truth, even if it's, and even if it's hard, because most of the time it is hard, and the gospel is confrontational by nature. And I think that we just have to, you know, plead reconciliation and mercy to the lost.
That's good. That's a good word. John, let me ask you, Ashton might have alluded kind of or got near this topic. Street preaching has been controversial. Open-air preaching has been controversial since its inception, right? And so anybody that's out in a marketplace or a campus or on a street proclaiming the gospel verbally, openly, lifting up their voice, often is it would be an object of obscurity, an object of ridicule or persecution. What would you say to somebody who says street preaching, open-air preaching is nonsense, it's foolishness, doesn't work?
Well, I would strongly disagree with that. Open-air preaching, you know, in the Bible, Paul did a lot of open-air preaching, and the disciples did. Most of them were martyred, except for one, and we know that was John. So, no, we open-air preaching is awesome. Billy Graham did it for many, many years. Famous evangelist did it. For people who say that, I believe maybe they're intimidated to do that themselves. So they'll look at others who do it and look at it as useless or a waste of time. It's not. We plant seeds when we do that. And some people will receive. Some may not. We don't know what the future for these individuals are. I think the word of God never comes back void, like the Bible says. So sometime in their life down the road, when they hit rock bottom, they'll remember these the open air preaching and the word of God. It's the word of God that saves, that comes out of our mouth.
God's word does God's work. That was an excellent explanation, John. Let me go back to Ash and ask about another, for lack of a better term, evangelism tool or method we use. Gospel tracts. I've heard many people over the years say, gospel tracts, they don't work, or I don't do that, or whatever, and that's fine. We hand out gospel tracts, some people on the team more than others. We don't force anybody to do anything they don't want to or not led to do. What would you say to somebody, similar vein of conversation, when it comes to gospel tracts, who says, those things, what are you handing those out for? They don't do anything.
Well, I think gospel tracts, you know, there's not necessarily anything in the scripture that says anything about gospel tracts, but at the same time, I don't think that there's anything wrong with it, and I think that they can be, you know, tremendously useful, because it's just a good icebreaker, because the gospel, I mean, it's not something that people normally want to talk about, and it's not something that people would normally think about, you know, the afterlife and things, because people push it out because, you know, they want their darkness instead, And I think it's good to just be like, here's something to read, or, you know, have you read this? Did you get one of these? You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, what is this? Well, it's a gospel tract. Well, what is this? Well, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're here from New York, or, you know, wherever we are. And we're just, you know, here, you know, this, we want you to read this. We want you to become saved. We want you to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And, you know, this little piece of information, like John said, you know, you can sow seeds with it. And even if they don't get saved and born again that moment, it gets them thinking and it gets it in them so that, you know, one person sows, one person waters. And I think that it can be tremendously effectual because yes. you can give it to them. And it's not just like you're telling them something and then they might forget it. They have a tangible thing that they can hold on to and they can take home and they can read it. And especially if it has scripture references, they can go home and look up things in the Bible if they're, you know, if the Lord, you know, is leading them to himself in that way.
Good answer. Let me ask you, because being on the campuses in Ashton for you last year with your first crusade, John, you've been doing it a few times, plus with all the years of experience you have. The marketplace, or the campus, forgive me, and we've been to so many Ivy Leagues, Dartmouth and Cornell and Harvard and Brown, and the list goes on and on. The word for me that comes on, people ask, is apathy. Apathy and hostility. I've had people ask, well, what have you noticed as the difference?
Yes.
And now we have a 7-year sample size. I've seen more apathy or indifference. I've seen yes. more hostility toward the gospel. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, go Ashton first, then I'll go to John. Last year, what was it like for you, Ashley? Because you went on these campuses. Mm-hmm. You were on Harvard, I remember specifically, because that's when all the guys were together. But what was your thoughts, or what would be the words that come to mind with your experience being on these large campuses with these, you know, people that are your age, that many, they've never heard the good news of Jesus Christ, or they're hostile toward it?
I think being younger, I think I did have somewhat of an advantage, just because, you know, people that are younger kind of tend to, especially in the world, kind of tend to have like a bad taste in their mouth toward older people. They're, oh, you're not my dad, you know, you're trying to tell me what to do or whatever. And I think if they have somebody kind of closer to their level, we'll say, I think they might have like more of a openness, receptivity mm-hmm. to what you're saying.
Yes.
And I actually did have a lot of good encounters with younger people and students and just people that were very open and very receptive. But on the same line, mm-hmm. You know, I did have a lot of opposition and hostility, and I noticed that there was almost like this, it was like a spirit, I guess you could say, or mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. a way of, like a darkness that was on these people that was tangible and thick, and you can see it, where they just, you know, they put their headphones in, they put their hoods up, mm-hmm. and they just walk right past yes. you and ignore you, and yeah. just want nothing to do with you. Or I've even, like, been, you know, I remember John and I, you know, mm-hmm. we were out trying to minister and people would just, you know, oh, you're not Christian and you're not doing this right. And,
yes.
you know,
heard it many times.
And, you know, you need to go out and feed mm-hmm. the poor and you need to go out and yes. do this. But we're also commanded to preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. And just there's a lot of different walks of life that you run into.
Hmm.
Yes.
Good elaboration on that. Way to expound upon that. I was just reflecting back on some of my experiences as you were talking about that. Let me build on what Ashton said, because he reminded me. The campuses, I think of Brown specifically in Rhode Island, which my team's going to go back to. It's almost like zombie apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
You have literally a sea of college students transitioning between classes. I mean, hundreds, like a heavy stream of fish going down, and it's dead silent.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Dead silent because their ears are plugged, their eyes are plugged. John, how do you overcome that, or what have you done in your experience these last couple of years to try to reach these young people who maybe don't want to hear or see anything?
Well, I've noticed similar things that Ashton has said. I think with the colleges, many of the colleges, if not most of them, are being indoctrinated with mm-hmm. this woke culture, and it is a spiritual battle. And for me, to remain persistent, not to give up, it's so easy to get discouraged. But the more they see the love that you have and a kindness and an honest persistence mm-hmm. and stay, like we would stay in one spot. I remember that college that it was pouring rain.
Brown.
It was raining, cats and dogs. But we stayed there in spots. We didn't let the rain discourage us. I think a lot of them, when they saw that, they saw, wow, what you know, they're trying to get out of the rain and we're staying in the rain. Mm. To try to talk to them. I think we touched some people by that. I remember a couple young people came up to us and they engaged with us. So the ability to be persistent and love and engage.
Love that. That's a great word. Shout out to Pastor Tony Goddard, who's coming with us. He's watching right now. Any of you that are watching, feel free to comment questions too, because I can actually see from here if you have any comments or questions, at least on the Facebook live stream. It won't when we air it on WYSL. Let's transition a little bit. Let's go to the marketplace, because a lot of people, we go to the campuses, and that's always, we do that every day. Both teams will go to a campus. We also go to the marketplace, though. And the marketplace is a little bit different dynamic. You go to, I think, of Church Street in Vermont or Harvard Square. You're dealing with a wide demographic. Yeah. Harvard's very, very diverse. Kennedy Plaza, which is right near Brown, that's more of a urban, impoverished situation. So which of those areas, Ashton, stood out to you, and how did you handle that change of pace from the college campus where there's apathy to maybe the possibility of more confrontation and more serious situations that may occur in the marketplace?
I remember one of the more intense situations that we were at. I didn't get as much opposition at Harvard. I mean, I did get my fair share, but there was this one bus stop. You remember, John, when we were at the bus stop?
Yeah.
It was right outside of Brown University.
Kennedy Plaza.
Kennedy Plaza. And there was kind of a park there, and there was some homeless there, and there was a lot of people waiting at the bus stop. And I remember there was a lot of receptivity, but it was met with the same amount of, if not more, hostility, because a lot of people were just, you know, get out of my face, I don't want to hear this, or, you know, strung out or drunk or, you know, just kind of mm-hmm. beside themselves. And I remember one person that I ran into was a Hebrew Israelite, Hebrew Israelite, and he was kind of like really giving me a hard time and just, you know, throwing scripture at me, and I was just, you know, throwing scripture right back at him. And, you know, he just wasn't hearing it. He was just, you know, regurgitating what he was taught. And, I think it's definitely a different dynamic mm-hmm. because with the schools, there's more of a central demographic of people. But like you said, with the marketplace kind of open areas, there's right. more mm-hmm. of a wide variety and a lot right. of different soil there.
Mm-hmm. Well said. You got the homeless population. You have the very affluent. You have the rich and the poor. They meet together. The Lord's maker of them both. I think of that proverb with that. But all of them need the same thing. They need the gospel. I want to go back to something John was talking about, or maybe both of you mentioned. People that are very, we use the term judgmental, or maybe hostile toward the approach we take. And those that have said, and I've heard it, you're not doing this. That's not how people reach people for Christ. You should be feeding people and so on. And we don't disagree with that. But John, what do you say to the person? You're out there doing actually what Christ, what the Word of God tells us you to do. And that's to share the gospel. The gospel is a word-spoken ministry. Caruso, mm-hmm. to proclaim, right? I always tell people, Stephen wasn't martyred because he mowed lawns. The apostles weren't beaten because they handed out bottles of water. I don't say that facetiously, but it's the truth. The good works follow the gospel. They're part of it, but not the main part. What would you say to the people that are telling you you're doing it wrong? You need to be clothing and feeding, which we agree with, but that doesn't save a soul.
Well, I think people that do that or say that are trying to get you off the main reason why you're there. They really don't want to hear the gospel, mm-hmm. so they'll say that. You're supposed to be doing this and that. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was sharing with somebody, I think it was a college student with Ashton, he was asking me the why questions. Well, if there's a God, if God is a God of love, why did the Holocaust happen? Right. So we try to explain to them. We use the Word of God. Sometimes they try to trap you, but to be persistent again, just share the Word. The Word of God never comes back void. I try to go back to the Scriptures and share with them. And when they're telling us that, trying to get us off track to what we're doing, mm-hmm. it's minor at times. But it's just the enemy using them, and we have to be aware of the spiritual battle that goes on. And if we put the armor of God on, we encourage each other. We continue. We never give up. Paul never gave up.
That's right. That's
Jesus
right.
never gave up.
That's right. I like that word. You were kind of alluding to steadfast earlier. You have to be steadfast, faithful, steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as Paul Amen. Said, knowing that our labor is not in vain. for God's glory. So, gentlemen, I told you this at the beginning, and no one ever believes me. We're almost done. So we're at the 20-minute mark right now. Every show we end the same way, and I just before I ask these final questions to John and Ashton, just to give everybody, because there are a few people watching, there'll be others that watch and listen on the radio or the podcast. We'll be headed out September 20th. That's a Wednesday, and we'll be going throughout the Northeast, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Vermont. We'll be converging all together, all 12 evangelists, on Salem Commons, where they have built a satanic temple. And our team was there last year, and it was very, very intense. I'll just leave it at that. So that's going to be our convergence point. But one thing I'll say is there was a girl, and I'll never forget it. She was at Salem Commons, and she was watching from across the street us preaching. So when one of the other guys was preaching, I walked across the street and introduced myself, and I'll never forget this. She said, "I'm just listening." I'll never forget that. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, knowing that our labor is not in vain. Amen?
Amen?
So let me end with this, and you guys, I'm going to give you guys 1 minute each. That's way longer than most guests, okay? I ask every guest at the end to share the gospel with those that are watching, listening. Share the good news of Jesus Christ for those who might be passing through the radio station, because this will play at 11:30 at night in the month of September on WYSL, or maybe they'll be flipping through the Facebook Live feed. Ashton, in your way, in your words, explain and expound upon, or just simply share the gospel. You got 60 seconds, please.
Okay. Well, what immediately comes to mind, and I shared this preaching last year, is Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and Paul in that scripture said, "I am chief of sinners." And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And for me, you know, I was rebellious. I was born out of wedlock. I was in a dysfunctional home. And, you know, in that state, God, you know, put the fear of the Lord in me. He drew me in and he got my attention. And he showed me that I do have purpose and that I do have meaning in this life. And it's not just, you know, you exist and, you know, this is all that life has to offer. You know, we live in a fallen world, and you know, the human condition is sin, and that's the problem, and Jesus Christ is the only cure. And when we repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that he is the Son of God and that he died and lived and died and rose again for us, for our justification, when we put our faith and trust in him, he imputes his righteousness to us. He gives it to us free.
Amen.
And we're covered and we're abiding under his grace. And he gives us abundant lives, and he you know, he doesn't tell us that, you know, it's going to be without hardship, but he says that he'll be with us in that hardship, and he'll carry us on through eternity, and he'll give us the joy of the Lord to carry us through those hard times. But that is the gospel.
Well done. Well said. John, you got 1 minute, please.
Yes. I love the scripture. It says, he who knew no sin became sin for us, so we might become the righteousness of God. And that's the only way, whether people believe it or not. You know, when I share the gospel, when I go to Wegmans or stores or anywhere, and we have just a brief time because people are walking by you and past you, so I like to share, and I like to say very briefly, Jesus died for our sins. Mm-hmm. Isn't it beautiful that he could wipe the slate clean mm-hmm. of all the wrong we've done, and he could give us eternal life? You get people thinking when you say that, and they might not respond to you, and they might walk right by you. But those words are powerful. You can wipe the slate clean and give the person eternal life. And I was just thinking of a scripture, Romans 10:15. For those of you who are listening to this, and maybe we'll be able to encourage you, and how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the good news of good things. So,
that's a good word. Yeah,
so I encourage anyone that's listening, we do what God wants us to do, what he's commanded us to do. And I'm so glad to be working with this team. I'm so glad to have Don is my friend for a long time, and Ashley is a new friend. And we encourage each other. When I see the enthusiasm of the team that's going and the people that I've known for a long time, how can we hold back?
Amen.
And I pray that everybody there that's listening, just
Amen.
God will be with you. Trust that's him. Don't worry about peer pressure. Don't worry about if people say no. Share the gospel.
Perfectly timed. Two very, very good explanations of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And as I've said before, it's so simple a 3-year-old can understand it, but it's so profound it'll be studied into eternity. So with that being said, We're about to sign off. I want to also thank the prayer team and remind you, I know this sounds different, but pray for our prayer team that goes out ahead of us the week before to every single stop, every campus and marketplace we're going to, and breaks up that fallow ground for us. We're also going to be ministering at Teen Challenge Vermont, both evangelism teams, so we're excited about that. And I want to thank you for your support, whether it's prayers, whether it's financial, whether it's logistical, meaning you're front lines with us, you've come out to our local outreaches, the Crusades, whatever it may be, our international branches, the Kenyanite. Thank you so much for helping us to rescue the lost and revive the saved with the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Have a great evening.